Hello, hello. There we go. Good evening, everyone. As Jeff said, in Kikaunde, it would be Muji Biepi with a little clap and a bow, and you would say Barongo to Mwane. So there you go. Next time somebody says Muji Biepi, you'll know what to say, because that's going to happen in Paducah, Kentucky. Before I get started with the report on the trip, let me start by just saying, from me and from the 12 of us that went to Mimina, Zambia, thank you. Thank you so much for what you did as a congregation for us, and we'll talk more about that. But the prayers, the money that you gave, the support that you gave, it means the world. Things like this, mission work like this, doesn't happen without a whole congregation behind those who go. And that's y'all, and I really appreciate that. And I'm going to say some things about the Mumina mission campaign tonight. But I wanted you to hear from more than just me. And so some of you may have already found this, but the bulletin article in our bulletin is responses from some of the people on our team about what they experienced or learned, how they saw God working this summer in Zambia. And so I would encourage you, please read that. There's some great stuff in there that's not what I'm saying. And so please go and read those responses from all those who went to Zambia. Very quickly, I'll do a little bit of background before I talk about our trip. This will be review for those of you who heard this 2 years ago, but there's a lot of new people at Central since the summer of 2024, which was the last time that we went. So a little bit of review. We went to the nation of Zambia, which is technically in southern Africa, but it's kind of central southern Africa. And that's the nation. Specifically, we were in northwestern province in the kingdom of Mumina, which is kind of right there where that marker is, a very remote part of the country. We were with the Kaunde people. They're a tribe, and their language, Kikaunde, are some of the words that we had to learn. This is the culture that I grew up in from age 5 to age 12. And so a lot of these people I still know, and I recognize, they recognize me. And so that's where we went. But why did we go? Let me give you a quick history. We went a lot of the reason because of this man right here. This is Chief Mumina, a.k.a. African Steve Harvey. He looks just like him when he doesn't have the white beard. You can't see it there, but I promise you, he is Steve Harvey in the flesh. Chief Mumina is a Christian. He, many years ago, wanted the gospel taught in his people with among his tribe. And so he had some connections with the church, including my parents, and he sent out the word that he wanted missionaries to come and to plant churches among his people. There was one Church of Christ at the time, but it's a large area, a lot of people, and so he wanted more congregations to be planted. And so he is the reason that there is a work there in Mumina, Zambia. The reason that he wanted churches planted is because the Kaunde, and most of Zambia, is not Christian historically. They are what's called animistic. It's a subcategory of paganism, but they worship the dead ancestors, and they believe that the dead ancestors animate the world that we live in. And so in the Western world, we view reality as probably 80% physical, 20% spiritual. They would view reality as probably more 90% spiritual and 10% physical. And so that rock is a dead ancestor. That pew is a dead ancestor. The question they ask is not, you know, why did something happen? It's who caused it to happen. Whose dead grandma, whose dead grandpa caused that to happen? It's a fear-based society. And so manipulation and deceit are a part of the culture, a part of the religion. And so it's a very dark place spiritually. And that is what Chief Mumina wanted missionaries to come and teach light and truth into. And so in 2005, the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Abilene, Texas, was supporting my family in Cape Town, South Africa. But Chief Mumina got connected with them. And after some research and some conversations, Hillcrest sent my family to Mumina, Zambia. There were a couple other families from different congregations also that were a part of that group, and that became the mission team that started a church planting work in northwestern Zambia in 2005. This is a good example. We saw this 2 years ago in 2024. This is a witch doctor, or potentially somebody a witch doctor hired, doing a dance. The president was in town. They're doing a dance so that the president, the plane ride back to the Capitol will be safe. So this dance and ritual is to ward off evil spirits. And so it's vivid. It is in your face there. And that is what governs their society and their culture. And so that's what we're preaching into. There's my family this year, my parents, me and Allison, and my brother and his wife, Jenna. And so this has been a work that's been a part of my life for a long time in different capacities. But that team answered the call. And what a church planting work starts with, not very many Christians, not very many people interested, but it starts to grow over time. This is one of the first congregations that was planted, the Conqua Church of Christ. We actually got to walk there as a group and showed the group what a church building looks like. You can see the church building. It's the brick structure in the back. And to the right is their fellowship hall. So if you ever want to complain about the annex, think again, all right? We got it pretty good. Like I said, it started with one congregation, and I haven't updated this. This is a 2024 map. It could use a couple congregations. That one needs to be taken off because it is no longer meeting, unfortunately, but there's also a new one that has been planted. But anyway, roughly 25-ish congregations now existing in northwestern Zambia in the Kaunda and the Lunda people. This is really neat. We know, as Christians who study our Bibles, that God's church is meant to expand and to grow and to teach and to replicate. We don't just work on building a bigger barn here. We have to plant churches and we have to teach other people. When the mission team, there was a 10-year commitment. When the last missionary pulled out in 2015, there were roughly 18 congregations there. Unfortunately, three of those died pretty quickly. That's kind of typical when in church planting work. So they were left with about 15. Yeah, 15. But now there are 25, and there's no missionary there. There hasn't been a missionary living there in 11 years. How does that happen? Because they're planting churches the way it's supposed to be, the New Testament pattern. And the Kaunda have started planting churches in the neighboring tribe, the Lunda tribe. And so that is kind of the current spiritual situation of that area. Where do we come in? Why did we go? Well, in my job as a youth minister, we want opportunities for our youth to grow and to have spiritual time together. Same thing in Zambia. They wanted a youth conference for the youth in their congregations and the youth who are friends of their youth. And so in 2014, they started a youth conference there in the kingdom of Mumena. And every summer, except for two because of COVID, there has been a youth conference. And they like to have people from the States come and to teach, to have, you know, guest speakers type of thing, to have relationships with Christians from the other side of the world. And so different groups have gone each summer from different congregations to go and to teach and to share the gospel with the youth in Mumena. And so that is what we got to do. We got to go to the 2026 version of the Mumena Youth Campaign. So it's not just a random trip. There's an established church planting work there that we're partnering with and that we're hoping to aid as they seek to be the light in their culture in Zambia. All right, so this is the opening day of the conference that we were there, but you may be asking, okay, how did Central get involved? Real quick history on this one. My personal prayer when I got into ministry was that one day I would get to lead youth and their parents overseas to do mission work to reinforce what we're doing here at home. That was like a long term. You know how people say you have like a 10-year goal? That was like at least a 10-year goal. I started here in 2022. In 2023, a year later, a anonymous donor here at Central had it on their heart that they wanted Central to be a part of missions in Africa. I was praying for it. I didn't expect God to answer it that quickly, but God is amazing. And sure enough, I have a connection to Africa. If you don't know, you can ask me about that later. And we had conversations with the elders. The elders met about it. They met with my dad, who leads this trip, my mom and my dad. Met with them about it. We had an informational meeting to see if this was something that anybody here wanted to do. And there was interest. And so in 2024, we got to lead a group of 8 people from Central over there to go teach. Jeff being one of the first ones, Jeff and Nate. And it was Jeff, Nate, me and Allison, Karen, Bridget, Stacy, and Sophia, I believe. That was the whole group, yep. So we had a phenomenal trip that year. And then after that trip, we kind of were left saying, okay, well, what do we want to do going forward? Well, I talked to the elders and I said, this is, obviously I'm biased, this is home for me, and I see a lot of good in this trip, but I know that this trip's not for everyone. I don't think we should participate every year. I think we should have something here in the States every other summer and give this opportunity to our congregation maybe every other summer as well. And so that was the plan. And so every 2 years at this point, the plan is to offer this as an opportunity for those at Central. And on the other years, to do something right here at home, like this coming summer, the AMC being here in Paducah, which is a huge mission trip that we're hosting right here, which is going to be a phenomenal opportunity for all of us. And so this became just a piece in the puzzle of what we do as a congregation to seek and save the lost, and also to grow us as leaders and teachers in the kingdom. And so this year, after we had an informational meeting, 12 people decided to go. Me and Allison, Karen Reed, Jeff and Nate Mabry, David Andy and Grayson Graziano, Rachel and Brianna Head, Turner Fawn, and Lauren Losher. The neat thing about this group was it is a significantly younger group than 2 years ago and less experienced with teaching. And so that created some good struggles as a group as we worked to prepare for a trip that was very outside of most of our comfort zones. A trip like this starts with preparation, a lot of preparation. One of the biggest barriers to something like this is financial preparation. As a team, our combined fundraising goal was $14,261.72. And because of y'all and some other people, other congregations that helped contribute to each person individually, we were able to raise $17,295.85. You blew us away with your generosity to help some of us go and to teach other people about Jesus. So thank you for that. The fund that was given a few years ago anonymously helped scholarship part of our trip, but we want that to be available for people in the future. And so that's why we ask people to fundraise as well, have some skin in the game. And in addition, part of the trip, you've got to pay out of your own pocket. You can't fundraise. You've got to work and save up for that. And so we require a few different avenues for people to make this happen. But because of what you guys did, you were a part of this mission team. You're not in that picture, but you are the reason that picture exists, each and every one of you. But it's more than just finances. There's also spiritual preparation. We start in January having classes about once a month. Sometimes it's twice a month, preparing people how to teach your faith, how to share Jesus cross-culturally in a culture that you're not familiar with yet. What is it like? How do you handle poverty? How do you encounter, or how do you answer questions that you're going to encounter, or maybe some experiences that you're not used to? In addition to that, we go over the curriculum that we're going to teach. The church leaders in Momena teach or select the curriculum, and for quite a few years now, they've been selecting booklets from World Bible School. My dad may have a hand in that. But they wanted, well, actually they didn't want, this is the interesting part. They have been putting off this booklet called Test the Spirits. 2 years ago, they chose a course on covenants, and last year it was on the biblical timeline. But as I said, their culture is 90% spiritual, where everything is about spiritual deception and power. And so a course on Test the Spirits, taken from 1 John, where you're testing everything somebody is saying and judging it compared to what the Bible says, is a very difficult subject to talk about in Zambia. And they've been putting it off for a few years, but they decided that we were going to tackle it this year. And so we did. And we had amazing conversations about witch doctors and faith healers and all the different things that they encounter and how you should respond to that using the Bible. There's a preparation picture from a couple years ago. Here you go. There's Test the Spirits, them reading that. I believe the next picture, yes. All right, I want to share this story. This is from Allison's class, Allison and Annie's class. They love skits. They lecture-based teaching is not as helpful there. They like stories, they teach in stories. And so skits, acting things out, are helpful for them to retain information. And so Allison had their class act out an encounter with a witch doctor and how maybe you as a Christian would handle that. And so they went into it, all into it. They dressed this girl up in, I guess, what a witch doctor would look like. They painted her face, put flowers in her hair. I don't even know where the paint came from. And she was the witch doctor. And these people bring this girl that was either lame or dead, wasn't quite sure. There's a great video of this. And the witch doctor starts making a bunch of noises and sounds and looks kind of crazy. This girl was acting it out. And the people who bring her are supposed to be the Christians, and they've got their Bible in their hand, and they keep shouting at her, book, chapter, verse, book, chapter, verse, book, chapter, verse. And she just keeps, you know, going on and yelling and screaming at them. And finally, one of the girls takes the Bible and, like, waves it at her, and the girl just falls over like the witch doctor was killed by the Bible. It's incredible. It's an incredible video. You really should see it. But this is something that's real for them, but also something that they know is not, those of them who are Christians, is not reality, is not the way God works. And so it's a blessing to get to teach into that and to be a part of that. And there's so many questions that they have. David and Grayson can attest to that. Our last class, I had this whole class prepared and it ended up being mostly question and answer, which was fantastic. Every person who goes and teaches on this trip must be baptized, because you can't share something that you haven't already committed to yourself. And as we go, we prepare to teach 16 hours worth of Bible classes and review games. And so it's a little bit of an intense time. And there's a lot of nerves with that. But before we went, we had a great conversation. It was me and Allison and Annie and David. We were in a hallway. And Annie mentioned her nerves to teach. And Allison was saying, like, that's okay, but also realize that we are going for a reason. There's a bigger picture behind what we're doing. And it's okay to be scared, but you've got to do this despite your fear. And Annie said, it's better to go and to be scared than to not go at all. And I think that summed it up perfectly. That's what we're to do as Christians. Here you see the church leaders. They meet after each conference to plan out the next year and to talk about just some things going on in the church that they need to address. This is, at least probably 20 different congregations represented in that picture. What's really special to me is seeing the relationships that form. This is a guy named Boniface, and we were walking down the road, and he was riding his bike. And this was one of our students. Me, Nate, and Jeff, we taught a class together 2 years ago in 2024, and Boniface was in our class. And he saw us and immediately stopped his bike and ran over and greeted us, and we got a picture. And he actually got to be in your class this year, right? So that was special for Jeff and for Nate. I'll get to that in a second. But there's incredible relationships that are built through this as you're sharing Jesus with these students. So thank you for making that possible, for praying for those things to happen. So after we get there to the youth conference, what happens? Well, I showed this picture earlier. There were 380 youth that showed up this year, not mentioning chaperones and church leaders that bring them, from about 25 Zambian congregations. Half were not Christians who had been invited by their Christian friends. And we had 24 teachers from 5 different U.S. congregations and 1 South African congregation who came to be teachers. We had the Kaunde, we had the Lunda that the Kaunde have been evangelizing to and planting churches there. And so we get to jump in to that society and teach it. And we spend 4 days of just back-to-back teaching all day in this youth conference. Okay, I'll get to this. Yeah, okay. I'll mention this very briefly. This is Chief Mumina and his wife, Bupela. They're close family friends of my family. And me and Allison, we got married in 2024. My brother and his wife, Jenna, got married in 2025. So this was the first time we'd been back that we were both married. And I didn't know this, but apparently it's a custom in that culture to give somebody a particular wedding gift when they come back home after their wedding. And that gift is a live chicken. We were given two live chickens, one for each couple, as a wedding gift from the king of Mumina, which is great, except you can't bring that back through immigration and customs in the United States. So we donated it to the church leaders on the condition that they name the chicken Allison and Jenna, and they did. So, but we begin this process of preparing and studying and developing these relationships on this trip. The first couple days, you're adjusting to you know, getting over jet lag, preparing lessons. I love, there's a picture, is it on here? Yes, I love Lauren and Karen in the top. They were teaching a class together, and you can see Karen mentoring Lauren as they're preparing. Karen's been three times now, and so preparing Lauren for this type of trip. I love this one, where Karen's doing the same thing to Nate, as well as he's working on his lesson. On this picture on the left, this is Wesley. Wesley was, once again, in Jeff, Nate, and I's class 2 years ago. But this year, he is not a youth anymore. He's grown up a little bit, and he's now a translator. He's now taking ownership. In fact, he was the single adult that came from his congregation this year, the only one that was able to with their youth group. Just 2 years ago, he was the guy in the youth group. And so now he's going to do that, and he translated for David Grayson and I and did a phenomenal job. And then it's time to teach, and we all jump in and are part of sharing our faith. This is a teaching campaign. We do a couple things to help them out, but really we go to teach and we go to share the gospel. Most of our classes are taught in English and it's translated into Kikaonde. But as I mentioned, the Lunda people have started coming. And so we always have one class for them. And Karen has been teaching that for the last 3 years. And so we told Karen and Lauren, you guys are going to get to do the Lunda class again this year. Great. She's done it a bunch. It should be seamless. No problem. The only problem, and it's not a problem, but the only obstacle was that we didn't realize that one to two other tribes had also shown up with their congregations who speak different languages. And so the first day, Karen and Lauren get up, and there are three, four, maybe five different languages spoken in their class. And they have one translator who knew one of those languages. We got it ironed out, but just safe to say that by the end of this, they got the award for most likely to be able to speak in tongues because of having to deal with all of that. So we appreciate their flexibility. That was Missions 101. The conference starts on a Friday night, and it goes through a Tuesday. And you really get to see faith come alive. And I love that. I love that, seeing that in youth here and adults here. I love seeing it cross-culturally as well. You spend each evening around a big campfire with them as they sing. Every congregation introduces itself in song. They play Bible games to reinforce lessons. Nate is the Bible boxing champion. If you don't know what Bible boxing is, basically it's a memory tool for knowing the books of the Bible. And Nate, he was kind of mean. He beat up on quite a few Zambians in that game. Let's just put it that way. No, but it was great. He did a good job. But all of that to say, all this teaching, all this relationship building, all of these games and review, what's the result? Why do we do all of this? The result is that on Sunday, 35 people responded to the invitation, and four responded to be restored. 35 people were added to the kingdom of God because of what you guys helped send us to do. That's the impact of a trip like this. On the bottom picture, you can see two elders, different congregations, but two elders there praying with those who have come to decide to dedicate their life to Jesus. Here are the names. If you would like a copy of the picture of these names to pray for them or something, you are welcome to do that. Here's a wide-angle shot of all those who responded Sunday morning. And then, here's why we go. This is why we do it. These students who responded to the invitation aren't just responding to a few days of classes. It's really no different from here. They're connected to congregations and to church leaders and to youth groups that are working to instill the faith that the older Christians have into those younger people. And what we get to be a part of is simply a big event that helps communicate those same truths, stuff they've already been studying and already been thinking about, to help them really think through what that commitment looks like, and that they can do this and that it can change their life. And after we've left, they are studied with and mentored as they continue to grow. Great examples being Wesley or Boniface that you've got to see. What was neat about this year was after the conference was over and all the youth had gone home, we had one more day there to clean up and to prepare. We got word that there was an adult, a chaperone actually, who had come with his youth group. And I'm guessing he wasn't the only one, because we found out he wasn't a Christian. And he had been so impacted from the lessons and what he'd studied that when he got back home, he decided to become a Christian. And so we praise God for that. And so 36 people in total put on Christ in baptism because of what you did with us in this mission. I've got a video that's going to play next that shows you what the trip was like, that shows you what we were able to do and what you were able to do through us, what God was able to do through all of us. So I will play this, and then I'll have a closing thought before we offer an invitation tonight. Oh, is it not playing? All right. I don't know why that's not playing. All right, well, I'll tell you what. Is that going to play for you, Sam? That video on the slide? All right, I'll tell you what. It's not going? No. All right, we'll go into my closing thought, and we'll have the invitation song. I will go up there and pull it up in a different way. I've got a backup way to play it that we can watch at the end after our Lord's Supper thoughts and everything before our closing prayer. But from the depth of my heart, thank you. Thank you for making something like this happen for our congregation. Thank you for having a heart that wants all people to know Jesus. And it's not just people in Zambia, because this is stuff, the guys, that we do all the time here in the States, here at home, here in Paducah. And there's a lot of other great people that we support all over the world and other places that are doing amazing work for the kingdom of God. As I mentioned earlier, it was a younger group, a less experienced teaching group that went this year. That led to some conversations of, I don't know if I can do this. What if they don't listen? What if I'm not prepared? But I reminded our team of a deep truth that rings true for all of us. Matthew 28, 18 through 20 is one of the big rocks of our faith as far as our mission, that we are supposed to go into all the world and teach them and to baptize them as Jesus has commanded us. But Jesus says something at the end of that passage that I reminded our group of before we went, and I want to remind you of tonight. He says, "Behold, I am with you always, to the end of the age." Jesus is with us when we teach people here, when we teach people there, no matter what, where, when we share the gospel, Jesus is with us in that mission because it is his mission. He goes with us on that mission. You may feel inadequate to teach the gospel. That's okay. I think most every Christian has at some point. But Jesus can do more through you than you realize. He can transform people more through you than you realize, because it's not about you and how good you are. It's about him and his word. He tells us to go, and when we go, he joins us in that mission. We can make a difference because it's really Jesus that makes a difference. But here's where it comes down to. Will you make yourself available to the mission of God? Karen calls this being a yes person for God, and I love that phrase. Isaiah 6, verse 8 says, "And I heard the voice of the Lord say, 'Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?' Then I said, 'Here I am, send me.'" What we sometimes forget about Isaiah's willingness to serve in the mission of God, he is agreeing to an incredibly unenviable mission, being God's mouthpiece to a sinful Israel who at times really doesn't seem to want to repent or to change. And sometimes the mission that God calls us to is uncomfortable. Most times it's probably uncomfortable. But when people's lives hang in the balance, will we reject the call of the mission of God and let people die? Or will we make ourselves available to that mission to say, yes, here I am. And I may not feel qualified. I may not feel adequate. I may, frankly, not want to. But I will go because you have asked me to. That mission that God calls each of us to is not just in Zambia. It is also right here at home in Paducah. So I want you to ask yourself a question that I challenged our group to ask as we went and as we came back. Who could Jesus change in the coming weeks and months because I decided to go and to share? Whose life will be transformed because you said, here I am, send me, I will go. I may not feel like I know what to say, but I will go and I will share. Because if you're a Christian, you've been transformed by that message too. And we get to be a part of the greatest work on earth. A lot of you do some really cool things for a job, but nothing is cooler, greater, more impactful than sharing the message of Jesus. Will that be you? Will you make yourself available to that? So many of you already have in what we do here in sending this group this summer, and I appreciate that. If that has not been you, change that tonight. Start by asking for prayers. Start by confessing that you have dropped the ball in sharing your faith, and start making a difference. Start being the person who will point others to Jesus. If you need prayers, if you need repentance, if you need encouragement, we're here. Or if you have not made that decision to follow Jesus, there are 36 new Christians in Zambia, at least as of a couple weeks ago. There are probably more at this point. But 36 new souls who have decided to follow Jesus. It's a big commitment in that culture, and it's a big commitment in this culture. But it is the greatest commitment you could ever make. And if you want to study more about that, we would love to do that with you. If you have a need, please come as we stand and as we sing.